In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning is our gospel lesson for this Sunday in the parable of the separation of the sheep and the goats on Judgment Day. Dearly loved by God in Christ, we need to file away these pictures of last judgment under E for erroneous. The picture of Jesus as some kind of Roman emperor who on the last day makes a decision, thumbs up or thumbs down, depending on how well we fought the fight of faith. Or the picture of some kind of double judgment, some kind of end of the world that takes place either before or after a time of perfection on this world, when Jesus will come to reign for a literal 1,000 years and reestablish the Davidic kingdom in Jerusalem. Neither of these are anywhere near the reality of last judgment. The Holy Scripture is very clear and sufficient in its description of what will happen when Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. There will be those whom God will take to His right side, His side of favor, believers, who will inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for them before the creation of the world. And it is also at that time that the unbelievers will be gathered on His left side under the curse that comes through their unbelief, and they will be cast out, separated from Him forever in the darkness of hell, the place of eternal damnation that God created for Satan and the other evil fallen angels. The back wall of the chancel at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Chicago is painted sky blue. And on that sky blue background are painted some white, fluffy cumulus clouds. And in front of the back of the chancel, hanging from wires, is a statue of Jesus with His arms upraised. And it is, of course, a picture of the fulfillment of the angel's promise to the church when Jesus ascended into heaven. This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven. Jesus will come again in glory for final judgment. First of all, we see that judgment takes place on the basis of faith alone. And secondly, that faith, which is the basis of judgment, will have manifested itself in works of love. When the eternal Son of God became the Son of Man the first time, conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, many people did not recognize Him for who He is. Many today do not recognize Jesus for who He is and do not worship Him. But when the trumpets sound and the angels appear, and the risen and ascended Christ reappears in the sky, all eyes will behold Him, this time in His victorious glory. No one will miss recognizing who He is when He comes not to save the world, but this time to judge the world. You will be there. And I will be there. And how glad we will be to be there. How happy we and all believers will be there, experiencing the redemption of our bodies as well as our souls. We will be there with hearts filled with joy when He comes to judge the living and the dead, whether we have passed away or whether we are still alive. We will be judged on the basis of that one thing that is the only basis of judgment, and that is faith alone. These two groups, the sheep and the goats, believers on the right and unbelievers on the left, will see Christ sitting on His throne and will recognize Him and will worship Him. Believers will worship Him through tears of joy. Unbelievers will worship Him through tears of terror and through fear. What saving trust God has been so gracious to give us for that day. As you and I rely on everything Jesus did for us under the law and everything that Jesus did for us on the cross. And so you and I eagerly look forward to that day of judgment. We are not anxious for Christ to return, because that means to look ahead with fearful hearts. We look forward in eager expectation. We even pray for that day, don't we? We long for that day. In our liturgy, we pray that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for His coming again. The coming on the last day of Jesus Christ is for the final judgment. God's judgment, the last judgment, will take place, but it has already taken place. Judgment Day, the final judgment, is but the public revelation of the judgment that has already occurred. Please, don't think of Judgment Day as Jesus sitting there on His throne trying to decide what to do with us, or finally making up His mind about us, as if He would say, well, most of their life wasn't so good, but there toward the end, they really came through. That's not what's going to happen, because it has nothing to do with what we've done or what we do. God's judgment already took place when Jesus died on the cross and His Father raised Him from the dead and declared you and me not guilty of our sins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ declares that we already have been judged not guilty of our sins. And then, through holy baptism, the Holy Spirit brought us into the kingdom of God and gave us faith in that justification that Jesus won for us on the cross, and gave it to us personally. When you and I received holy baptism, God again said, you're not guilty of your sins, and so I'm adopting you as my child now and forever. At your holy baptism, God judged you not guilty of all your sins, forgiven of your sins, all your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. And that verdict stands through time and through all eternity. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. The final judgment is really that public revelation of the faith in our hearts that is now hidden. It is that public revelation and manifestation. It's really harvest time. It's the separation of all humanity, the harvest of souls, for believers to be gathered before Christ in heaven, and whoever does not believe, for them to be condemned. But such hidden faith that will be manifested on Judgment Day before the throne of God, whether we are living or dead, manifests itself already in works of love. The Savior judge declares that the good works that I have done for my neighbor are actually good works that I have done for him. And in fact, they are his good works, because it is through faith in him, through him, that God counts our works of love as good. And so Jesus says, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Believers will hear and receive these words of praise on the last judgment from our Savior. It is his love that has produced those works in us, so they are his works of love, and so they are acceptable to him. Notice that nothing will be mentioned about our sins. Nothing will be mentioned about our lack of love, because there isn't any of that. Because like a good tree bears good fruit, we bear fruits of love as evidence of our faith. And our failures to do that have been canceled out. They've been covered over by the blood of Christ. They've been removed. On Judgment Day, God will see in Christ only good vines bearing grapes. He is the vine, and we are the branches connected to him. At the same time, it's interesting that there is no recognition as if these works were something special on the parts of believers. They don't really try to list them themselves, but Christ lists them. And that's because we know that there's no need to list them, because they don't count for anything. We don't have to tell Christ about when we fed the hungry, or gave someone a drink of water, or visited someone in prison, or loved our neighbor. It's just something that we do. It's the fruits of love that we bear that flow from our faith. And so we wouldn't try to take any credit for them. We wouldn't try to list them as if God would use those as the basis of judgment. They are but the evidence of faith, or the evidence that there is no faith in the heart. The last verse of Jesus' parable about judgment indicates that judgment will take place on the basis of works. But there it is necessary to understand those words in that context. My works of love toward God, which is when I am good to my neighbor, good toward Christ, are simply the evidence of faith that is in my heart. They don't contribute to my faith. They don't complete my faith. They're simply the visible manifestation that it's there. At the same token, when there are not those works of love, that's simply the manifestation that there is no faith in the heart. And so again, that judgment takes place on the basis only of faith. But the evidence of that faith, which is love, will be manifested greatly. You and I will not be surprised when God returns, when Jesus comes again, because in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed if we're still alive, or our bodies will be raised from the dead. Notice that these people, that Paul and they were thinking about, you know, what happens when Jesus comes again and I'm still alive? Because they thought that Jesus was going to come back while they were still alive. And that's what we're to think. We're to think that Jesus will be back to judge the living and the dead before I die. And so we look forward to that day. We long for that day. We know that God is not a long time in coming, humanly speaking, as He stands on the threshold of eternity and this earth, prepared to come again to gather the church into heaven. Any person who does not believe in Christ, does not believe in God, will be surprised. They will be surprised that hell is real and that God is real, and they will be separated from God for all eternity. I don't know if anybody's ever said this to you, but I've had people say to me, "You know, I'm going to hell. I don't really care. You know I'm probably going to go to hell, but I'm not really afraid." You know, that person, I've told them, you're really either deep in denial, or you are the bravest or the most foolish person whom I have ever met. God did not create hell for sinners. He created hell for the fallen angels who rebelled against Him in heaven. But God does send to hell in His justice those who reject the love that He had for them in Christ. God does not want you to go to hell. God wants you to be in heaven. And that's why He loved you and sent Jesus Christ to live a perfect life for you and to die a substitutionary death for you. That's why, for Jesus' sake, He declared you by the cross and by your baptism not guilty of your sins. Because He wants you and has called you and me and will keep you and me in faith through the means of grace, so that we are there among the sheep on the right hand of God. That we are there rejoicing in that kingdom prepared for us before the creation of the world. Make no mistake, today is the day of your salvation, because today is the day that Jesus might well return in final judgment. Today is the day for you and for me to repent of our sins, to curb our sinful nature with that realization that the judge is coming. A day for our new man to rejoice in that eager expectation and to show works of love and charity. As a Christian, according to the new man, I do not fear the final judgment. What will look forward to that day of my resurrection or transformation? Because on the last judgment, the word of judgment I heard this morning in the absolution remains true. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen.